Jay Pizzy, Mosier on the beat. Look at my team, ay. Look at the ring, whoa. See what I mean, ay. You see what I mean? Look at my team, look at the ring, everything. This is a dream, all but a dream. This ain't a dream, I am a fiend for the cream, go. DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
See, I calculate. Yeah, y'all just palpitate. Whoa, if you don't calculate, get it? Get it? Calculate. Lady Justice is illustrious. I just love this. I can put this in this function and it turns up into something. And that something came from nothing. And I sold it for a button. Now I got this lovely lump sum. Guess I'll burn these bumps like buzzing, bro.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
This ain't a dream, I am a fiend.
Coming to you from the Dynasty Trades capital of the world, Minneapolis, Minnesota, it's the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, starring my co-host, Izzy, the Pharaoh of Fantasy Elkafoss. By the way, this is recorded in front of a live studio audience, Izzy. How do you feel about that?
Are your kids watching?
Yeah, the kids are watching. We've got like some canned laughter we're going to be entering here. Is he there? Get it? Is he
nice.
Listening?
Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Canned laughter. Get it?
You're an animal.
I'm your host, JP Hurley, on Twitter at FF Hercules. You can find Izzy at DTC underscore Izzy E, the producer at DTC underscore John Mosier, the main handle at FF Dynasty Trades. Please follow us all. We got some phenomenal content firing off on a daily basis. You're actually more active on Twitter than you have been in the past few weeks.
Yeah. But is it my polls that I'm not my poll, but my polls, my Twitter polls?
Yep. I've been looking at your poll a lot.
Nice. Yeah. Yep. I saw you. I don't see you very often. I saw you 2 days in a row.
That's right. Back to back, Jax.
Yeah.
Speaking of Jax, I just walked in my door from coaching my 8-year-old son's football team, third grade football. Jax, his name is. Last game of the season, we went up against the undefeated green team. Everybody always has to fear. I don't know. The green team is always good, aren't they?
Is that how it works?
I don't know. It seems like the green team is always stacked in like kids' sports. I don't know what it is.
Interesting.
So we played the undefeated green team. We took them down 21-14. An epic battle. It was amazing. So I feel pretty good, actually.
Did Jax do anything of importance?
Jax had a lot of huge carries, yes. He was he's a running back. He's a running Jax.
Nice. Typical. Well, I'm surprised coach's son didn't put him at quarterback.
You know, there's two or three kids on his team that have absolute cannons for arm. Jax is good at throwing, but he's not like the best. But yeah. He is the fastest on the team, so it seemed like a pretty obvious choice.
Yeah. Does he have a mean stiff arm?
He does, actually. He just like smacks people on the crown of the helmet. They're face down in the dirt. It's amazing.
That's awesome.
I got some recorded. I'll send you some recordings.
Perfect.
And it's like the recordings are like Uncle Rico in the backyard.
Nice.
It's really good, actually.
Nice.
So coming down from a high, but back into another one with the DTC podcast. We got some cool stuff to talk about this week. And we're not going to change it up because we're having so much fun doing what we've always done. We're going to talk about the most entered players in the trade calculator in the last 24 hours. So these are the players that people are most curious about their value after week 4. Was it week 4 already?
Mm-hmm.
We're quarter of the way through the fantasy regular season. How does that feel? I feel like that happens every year, doesn't it?
Now with the extra game, it's less than a quarter.
Oh, I suppose if people extended their season accordingly, right?
Yeah, now it's like 23%.
I guess. But I always feel like that happens every year. It's like we wait so long for the season to start and then you blink your eye and it's like 4 weeks in already. And then 8 weeks and then it's over. Oh my God. It's basically over. We're done. End the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We're done. Well, let's get right into it. We're going to do a little bit of a compact podcast. Izzy's recording back-to-back shows. If you're curious about it, Izzy will be appearing on the Trade Addicts podcast. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the rumor.
A very fun show. I've been on that one with, I think Rocky's on there, and we got Dynasty Outhouse, Russ.
Mm-hmm.
Some awesome dudes. So check that out. Izzy will be appearing on the Trade Addicts podcast tonight as well. They'll probably be, I think ours will probably be released earlier, or maybe theirs. Who knows? Anyway, let's go. The most entered players in the trade calculator in the last 24 hours, starting with number 10. We'll work our way backwards. We're going to talk about the players, break them down, maybe give you some advice if you're looking for what kind of people to get in trades. Starting with number 10, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. People are very curious, and I think it's probably because, like I've said each week that we've done this, it feels like it's either players that are blowing up currently or players that are getting locked down or injured. There's always a theme or a reason for these players to peak on this list. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire has had back-to-back 100-yard games, I believe, right? Couple touchdowns, more heavily involved in the offense than usual. So, Izzy, what are your recommendations for Clyde Edwards-Helaire owners or people who are interested in acquiring him?
Yeah, so you and I made a trade involving Clyde right before the week.
Yeah, you pulled the trigger.
I pulled the trigger on the trade.
That was a fun negotiation. You almost had us recording that, by the way.
Yeah, that would have been fun. So if you listen to our show, was it last week? I feel like it was two episodes ago, but anyways.
Yeah, you're right. Yep,
yeah, it was. So Hurley was talking about how he would buy Clyde for me, essentially. And I was trying to sell Clyde in a league that I have Clyde and he doesn't. He said that that's not the way that his team, not the direction of his team. He's rebuilding, yada, yada, yada. Well, Hurley's decided in that league. I think you were at the time 2-1.
Yeah, you know, I was the third least scoring team, and I was trying to retool my team. I got great quarterbacks and great wide receivers, but I didn't have any running backs. But my team has been sneaking victories while scoring low points. Well, I decided to reverse the engines and throw in reverse and try to acquire some running backs and make a run at it. So yeah, that's the setup.
Right. So you have Josh Allen. Who's your other quarterback?
Nerd calculators. I had Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Trey Lance before my trades.
Okay. And then you had no running backs of quality, but then you had CeeDee Lamb, DK Metcalf, another good receiver, I think.
Jerry Jeudy, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Juju.
Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah, Cordarrelle. And then who's your tight end?
Fant. Dalton Schultz. I mean, I shouldn't have to say Dalton Schultz, but my God.
Yeah, he's looked really good. So yeah, that was your squad. So you decided, well, you know, let's and then you had a few draft picks, a few firsts for next year. So you figured, well,
I had four firsts.
Yeah. So you decided to
And
take,
by the way, to set the scene a little bit too for this league was it's the Nerds Calculator League. So it's all Dynasty Nerds and all Dynasty Trade Calculator personnel in a league together. And this just started up last year. So my plan was to kind of like take it easy for a couple years and then just acquire a bunch of youth and assets and then make a big push starting in 2022. And now things are just kind of coming together a little bit more quickly, but continue your setup.
And on the flip side, I thought that I would have a pretty solid shot at 2021 this season. I had a lot of depth at receiver with a lot of wide receiver twos that I figured I could plug in. And Cam Akers got hurt, which hurt. I had Clyde, Monty, Cam Akers, and Javonte Williams. And it is a point per first down league, so a little bit more tailored to running backs and wide receivers. I have George Kittle and Jonnu Smith, so I figured my tight end core is pretty solid. And like I said, a lot of wide receiver twos, no real wide receiver one. And then I had Lamar, Sam Darnold, and Derek Carr. So pretty solid quarterbacks. And things just haven't gone my way. So I'm sitting 1-2, and I decided time to trade Clyde. I don't like, we had talked about this, I don't like the way that Clyde is being used in that offense. The fact that he only has 8 receptions on the season is, actually, no, he has 7 receptions on the season.
Well, so, and then at the time, I think it was 3, basically, because this was so after 5, week 2, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah, so we had 5 receptions. That was after, yeah. So we had 5 receptions going into this last week. And it's just not the usage I want. He's getting, you know, 13, 14 carries a game. And his efficiency on the ground has been pretty high these last 2 weeks. So I figured time to capitalize on the production, because if you look at his first 2 weeks, he had 14 carries for 43 yards and 13 carries for 46 yards.
Well, again, you can't use this week for your...
I'm not using it
because
I'm just saying, yes. So 14 for 43, 13 for 46, and 3 receptions total in his first 2 games. And then he had a breakout of 17 for 100 and then two receptions for one touchdown. He only had 9 yards receiving. So I looked at him and said, you know what? He's had a game that he's been pretty efficient in, and I just don't think long-term. I don't like the sustainability. I don't like the fact that he's not being used in the receiving game, and he's still young enough to where people want him, and he's kind of got that allure of he's in the Kansas City offense, so time to move him. So I had a conversation with a couple people. There were a few interested parties, and Clyde Hurley was kind of, you know, it's easy to negotiate with you because we talk all the time in general. So I don't have to send a Twitter DM and maybe wait for you to respond. And it's just, it's a pain in the ass to deal with people that you don't really talk to all that much.
Yeah.
But with you, I can negotiate. But essentially, what I want to do is trade my running backs, or trade one of my running backs. Not completely throwing the towel in the season, but kind of just shift gears a little bit. And if I win, I win. If I lose, I'm starting to like look towards next season. So if I pick up a win in week four, then I maybe look at, okay, I'm 2-2. I've got rid of Clyde. Maybe I try to acquire a inexpensive running back that could produce a la Jamal Williams, for instance. And then just kind of take it from there. So I took Clyde in a deal for you, and you kind of wanted Clyde and another starting player, namely Corey Davis. And for me, with the matchup with Tennessee, you know, I didn't really want to trade Corey Davis this week. I wanted to wait a week because I figured he'd have a big game, is kind of what I explained to you. I think Corey Davis can have a good week. I'd rather hold on to him, yada, yada, yada. And what I wanted from you was Jerry Jeudy was the main piece. He's a guy that is currently injured. He's a good future piece. And if I'm trying to lose games, he's not going to, obviously, he's going to help me lose games because he's not playing. You currently had my first round pick because we do a disrespect draft. And I believe you took me 8th overall out of the 12 teams. So you got me in that mid to late first region when we were doing our disrespect draft. So you selected my pick 8th overall. So I figured, okay, if I can get my pick back, I can then control my own destiny with my team and just kind of start losing. And I have every interest to lose because I have my pick. So we kind of went back and forth a little bit, and we ended on Clyde and Corey Davis for Jerry Jeudy and what was at the time a mid-first, which is probably now going to be a early to mid-first, depending on how much I can turn my team. David Montgomery got hurt too, so that kind of helps my losing ways.
Direction, yeah.
So,
and by the way, it's kind of cool because this was the initial offer, like after we had talked a lot, this was the offer I sent over, and then you kind of waffled. We pulled it back a little bit. You sent something different, and then we kind of ended up agreeing on this, on the initial offer anyway. That kind of worked out nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so it ended up working out. And you got your win. I got my pick. I got my loss. Everybody's happy.
Yeah, I think I might have actually put up the most points in the league this week. I'm not sure if you saw that.
No, I did not.
Final. Yeah, I have the most points in the league. Everybody is final. Does nobody have anybody going on Monday night?
No.
The entire league is final.
I think I have a Monday night game. I have Carr. Yeah, there's a bunch of people that still have guys left.
Every single game has an F after it. I guess that must be just a mistake on the software. So that's fine.
Yeah, it's funny. All the games, all the like, if I look at the on MFL, all the Chargers and Vegas game, Raiders game is all zeros.
It says final.
They all say zeros. I think because of the delay, it got messed up. I don't know.
Yeah, and then MFL says final after each one of those games too. That's hilarious.
But yeah,
Clyde Edwards, hilarious.
So speaking of Clyde, kind of I talked about a little bit. I don't like his usage. I don't, from where his value is as a top 12-ish running back, I don't think that he's a long-term RB1. And I think there's a hope that he is for a lot of people. I'm just, and I, from a couple weeks ago, we kind of had this conversation. You were pro Clyde and where his value was, and I was kind of anti Clyde. And I feel like even after these two games, the volume is still the same. So from a volume perspective, nothing has really shifted. He got 17 carries, in week 3 and 14 carries in week 4. The difference is instead of having averaging 3 or 3.5 yards per carry, he's averaging almost 6 and then almost and above 7 in week 3 and week 4. So it's just him being more efficient. But to me, volume is king. And I need, if I have an RB1 and he's being valued as an RB1, I need more than, you know, the 15 touches per game that he's getting. Like I need, if you're only getting 13 carries, I need 5 receptions.
He's getting 16.25 touches per game on average in one of the most exciting offenses in the NFL. So that's
But majority of his touches are just on the ground. And yeah, he has no touchdowns rushing.
You're a law of averages guy, and you're assuming this is going to continue to be the case for him.
For what? Which part?
You're like a law of averages guy. So yeah, he's only averaging less than 2 receptions per game.
Yeah.
And you think that's going to continue?
Yeah, because that's what happened last season. He averaged 2.2 receptions per game.
That's more than what he's averaging now, but that's fine.
Yeah, he's averaging 1.9.
Yeah.
So I'm out. Like, I'm out. I've seen all I've needed to see. We've had, what is this now? 17 games where Clyde is only getting 2 receptions per game and he's averaging like 3 targets or 4 targets.
Yeah.
Not enough.
And point per first down league, I'm fine with the PPR being a little bit lower. I'd rather it be higher. And I think that there could be a point where he becomes more used in this offense. I mean, Josh Gordon isn't exactly going to cut into his production, but
yeah, but I feel
I'm
like
fine with that amount of touches at that price.
We wait for so long for so many players. Like he's on a Miles Sanders trajectory, and we're going to get to Miles Sanders here, spoiler, in a little bit. I don't like the trajectory of Miles Sanders, I don't like the outcome of Miles Sanders, and I don't like the trajectory that Clyde is currently headed.
Yeah.
Very Miles Sanders-esque, and I'm out on that.
So I will say I'll be keeping Clyde Edwards-Helaire because I'm contending now. Mm-hmm. I think I'm in second place in the league now. But I will say that after having back-to-back 100-yard-plus rushing games and a touchdown in each game, I think he scored 18.9 points in this league in week 3, 21.4 in week 4, back-to-back good weeks. I would not mind people entertaining moving him now because I think he's probably people feel really confident about him now, and he's spiking up to the point where I think he could be, and he could kind of like stay around that area. So I don't mind him being a little bit of a sell now, but like again, I'm contending, so I can't afford to lose him. And even in games where he's scoring 10 to 15 points, I'm fine with that. That's all I really need from that position because I've got I made a trade for Saquon, so like hopefully Saquon's my guy, and then Clyde can kind of be a complimentary.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's tough. You know, for me and how I run my teams is I look at just the long-term outlook of the player. Like, I don't look at, well, what is he going to do this year? It's kind of like, you know, we had this conversation with Zeke, and Zeke has been performing, but I'm looking at the long-term outlook of these players and kind of how they're being used, what other players are being involved, and then what's going to happen to their value a year from now. And then how do you capitalize at the current price before the price dips? How do you get ahead of that?
How does that affect Clyde Edwards, though? First round pick, 22 years old, locked in,
because,
probably a 5-year contract, 16
because
plus
his usage,
touches a game.
Because his usage from a sustainability perspective in terms of fantasy points, just like last season, is not sustained. Like he doesn't meet the requirements of where his value is. Similar to Miles Sanders, he's the same thing. He's been young. He's still young. He's still 24 years old. But at some point in time, we reach a breaking point where we're like, okay, this player is just not going to be what we wanted him to be. And it's going to continue to go down for Clyde to the point where he's just Miles Sanders in value. And I'm just not that interested in holding on to a player like that. And that's kind of like my outlook. I'm looking at it from not just this year. I'm looking at it from next year. And I want to get out from under players that I don't feel confident in next year. I'm willing to take the hit short term for the long term gain of my portfolio. I look at my dynasty teams as portfolios of assets. And if I think next year a player or a whether it's short term or long term outlook is not good, I try to get out of that and try to shift into a better long term outlook. In this case, the trade with you, my long term outlook for Clyde is poor, but my long term outlook for Judy and that first is high. So I make that trade. It also helps that I'm trying to now lose games because I'm no longer contending and I'm getting my pick in that trade. So this deal works for me in many different ways, and it works for you as well. So that's why we made the deal, which is great. Now, if we were both rebuilding, you don't make that trade. Pretty simple.
I mean, did you know that last year, Clyde Edwards-Helaire's value in September was 47.1, and you traded to me when his value had almost halved?
Yeah.
It's like, how much lower do you think he can really go?
A lot lower.
So I think he stands just as much to gain as he does to lose. I think he's a perfect wild card.
I don't think his upside is really that. I don't think his he needs more than 16 touches a game to really elevate from where he is. Because a lot of his value is just being held up by his draft status from last season. We have talked about this before. The younger and the less amount of games a player has had, the more insulation and the more shit we put up with, essentially. Yeah. And then once a player reaches a certain threshold, and I haven't really dove into like what that point is, because it really varies for every player and where they're selected in the draft and yada, yada, yada. Like, this is a great example. Corey Davis as a wide receiver, if you remember, after his rookie season, he still had some pretty good value. And then and he didn't even play. So maybe he's not a great example, but a lot of players in the past, and I can't think of anybody off the top of my head, I have to really think about this, but will have a value, like their value insulation. Let's say it's like 100% value insulation or 100 value insulation. And then you just continue to lose to the point where it's harder for you to gain value and it's easier for you to lose it. For young players with high draft capital, it's hard for them to lose insulation and easy for them to retain it. But after a year or two, that starts to wane significantly.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I just think that being valued currently at basically like maybe a top three or four 2022 draft pick at 25.6, I think that's a really good spot to get in, you know, last week. Now it's probably getting to be too late, because if his value is kind of trending back up slightly, like a little bit of an uptick, you probably might not be able to acquire him for a reasonable price anymore. But at 25.6, that seems to be a pretty safe spot. Because what are you going to get in a draft next year that's going to make you feel as good about, you know, a starting running back in a Kansas City offense? You know,
it's just the guy has 7 touchdowns in 17 games, and 3 of the 7 are receiving touchdowns, and it's just. He's got 4 touchdowns on the ground.
You know, 2 this season, 2 in the last 4, like new information.
239 carries, Hurley, and he's got 4 touchdowns on the ground. And I just need to see more. We need to see more. I can't just get 16 touches, all of them on the ground, or most of them on the ground, very little reception play, and very little touchdowns.
Yeah, that's like, fine.
That's just a poor recipe.
Yeah, and you're about to see more, because we got to move on to the next player on the list. It's DJ Moore. He's coming at number 9, the 9th most entered player in the calculator in the last 24 hours. People are wondering what they should be doing with their DJ Moore shares. He's been kind of on fire. So, like, conversely to what we saw with Clyde Edwards-Helaire kind of dipping down a little bit as the season started in the first couple weeks, DJ Moore is going the complete opposite direction. In fact, I think he's almost to a point where his value could be equal to or higher than it ever has been. He's at valued at 36.9 in the calculator. I'm looking at our historical value trends. If you click on a player name in the calculator, it'll pull up a player card, and you can actually see over the course of time what this player has been valued over the last 24 months. The biggest peak that I saw for him was September 2020 at 36.1. So I think DJ Moore is currently the highest valued player at the highest point he's ever been in his career. So I think people are probably wondering, maybe should they be cashing out? What do you think?
I'm going to say no.
I agree.
Who is he valued around? He's probably in the Diggs McLaurin pocket, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. Like, probably too low for Tyreek. Let me switch this to wide receiver.
Yeah. So I'm guessing he's in the Adams, McLaurin, Diggs, Calvin Ridley.
Yep.
So I think I'd rather have DJ Moore.
Yeah, he is currently valued above them, above the guys you've just listed, but below, Davante Adams, Terry McLaurin, Jamar Chase, but he is above Calvin Ridley, Stephon Diggs, DeAndre Hopkins.
I agree with that. I'd rather have DJ Moore than those three guys.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather have, you said Diggs. He's above Diggs. I agree with that.
He's above Diggs, above Ridley.
He's below Adams.
McLaurin. Jamar Chase. Brown. Yeah.
I think I'd rather have DJ Moore ahead of Chase and McLaurin. And Adams is very close.
I'd rather have him above Devontae, but that's just me because that, you know, it's.
Yeah. The more I you forget how good Devontae Adams is. And it's just like.
Yeah, he's so good.
Yeah, I probably would cash up. I mean, yeah, I would. It just sucks.
You're just kind of like after this year, you're kind of stuck with Devontae then.
And you are.
He's great and he'll win, but yeah.
And the thing that's with DJ Moore, and this is an issue, like I always fade the idea of touchdowns because touchdowns vary. However, there are players, and this is, goes for both sides, there are players that score a lot of touchdowns consistently every single year, and there are players that struggle to score touchdowns consistently every single year. So there isn't a volatility where, well, this he scores, you know, look at Mike Williams, a great example from when he scored double-digit touchdowns and then he scored four last season or five last season. So it's like there is that jump from one year to the other, whereas like Adams consistently is a high touchdown guy. You know, you can pretty much peg him for double-digit touchdowns. DJ Moore, conversely, has been in his previous three seasons, he had 10 touchdowns combined in three seasons. So in 46 games, he had 10 touchdowns. So he's scoring a touchdown every 4.5 games.
So it's like the opposite of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, right?
Well, it's actually, he is Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but as a receiver. So,
but with touchdowns.
No, I'm saying DJ Moore doesn't have touchdowns.
DJ Moore, okay, I thought you were saying. Yeah.
Adams is the exact opposite of that. So I look at this and I look at DJ Moore's start to the season and it's like, okay, he's finally getting just red zone targets. He's starting to get those. I mean, he's got three touchdowns already. Through 4 weeks, he's on pace for 1,700 yards, well over. I think he's on pace for like 140 receptions, 130 receptions. So that will come down. You know, things will even out, I think. But he's 24 years old, and he's finally linked to a quarterback that's starting to produce, which is Sam Darnold. So he's a young quarterback, and the offense looks like it's clicking. So this could be a relationship that I see long term with Sam Darnold, and I like that. So like if it was like Teddy Bridgewater, if he was doing this with Teddy Bridgewater, it's kind of why I have DJ Moore ahead of McLaurin, is because McLaurin has Heinicke and who knows what's going to happen next year.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, some receivers are QB proof and I totally respect that. But I just like knowing that I have two young assets tethered to each other. I'm good with that. So I like DJ Moore. And I would buy him. I'd rather have him over all of those guys we just mentioned. And I'd probably take him over Adams in a vacuum, but it'd be hard.
How about this? Pulling up the trade wire. So again, for our regular listeners, you already know about this, but people that are new to listening, on our website, we have within the calculator, when you click on a player, you got their player card, you can tab over to the trade wire. And the trade wire is a place where you can evaluate real dynasty trades that are being made in leagues. So you kind of see, get an idea of what people are going for. And this is one that I pulled up in a league. Would you rather have DJ Moore and Michael Carter or DeAndre Swift? I thought that was the most compelling trade that I could find.
This is like a normal one PPR, you know, regular settings.
You got it. I've got it set for, 12-team PPR Superflex. Not that the Superflex matters.
I'd still take Swift in that deal over DJ Moore. But I'd have to be like a serious contender.
Yeah, but that's a pretty good trade, though.
It's a good trade.
Pretty fair.
Great trade.
Yeah.
What is in the calculator? Is it fair in the calculator?
44 to 41.5 in favor of Carter and Moore.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's reasonable. So DJ Moore is only like a late second round pick off of DeAndre Swift in a sense.
Yeah. Yep, 36.9 to 41.5, so within 4.6 points of each other.
And Swift is interesting because I think there's a lot of people that aren't completely sold on the way that he, and this week kind of helped prove that. I'm sure he's come down a little bit from last week. But the concern of what happens when, you know, he's not getting the receiving volume, what happens? And what happens is he only gets 6 points a game. So that's kind of an issue. This is the, it's so hard because the gap between like Derrick Henry right now and everybody else is massive in terms of fantasy points.
Typical.
You know, it's usually there's a few guys like last season, it was Aaron Jones and Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry that were just kind of keeping pace with each other.
Yeah.
That's not the case this season. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, McCaffrey going down due to injury. But yeah, Derrick Henry is 10 or 30 points clear of the next closest player.
He's a beast.
So it's just, Swift is still top five, but top five is still 45 points behind the leader through four games. He's averaging 10 less points per game than Derrick Henry. So it's like, I think it's hard for us to really look at it and be like, okay, well, Swift scored 8.9 points per game and it's going to hurt his value. Yada, yada. I get that. But when you compare it to the landscape of everybody else outside of Derrick Henry, everybody's kind of in the same pocket.
Yep.
So I don't know. His value does take a hit from a week to week perspective because of the way he's utilized. He's not like a traditional bell cow. So he's going to need more. Like it took Kamara, if you remember Kamara's value, it took Kamara like a full season for people to really be bought in. And the same thing might happen to Swift.
Possible, yeah. Yeah, and we can probably stop there. We got to move on to the next guy here. This one's really interesting. I'm just kind of thrown off my game a little bit because I'm scrolling through the trade wire to kind of like preload some trades for us to talk about for this next guy. And I find one that has to be collusion. Tell me if this trade is not collusion, okay?
Okay.
What would you do if you're the commissioner and you saw this trade come through? It's a real league. I will not say the league name to protect their identity. 12-team Superflex PPR. Uh-huh. Dak Prescott. This is all on one side. Dak Prescott, A.J. Brown, C.D. Lamb. 4, Boston Scott, Darrell Williams, A.J. Green.
Yeah, this
has to be cheating.
Well, yeah, there's no other way to explain it. And there's people that be like, oh, you can't reverse trade. I mean, what do you do in a situation like that? Well, besides fold the league. If those trades are happening,
the league's over.
Yeah, what are you really doing?
And maybe if it's free, I guess. Maybe it's a free roll.
You got to have a meeting with the Bobs, you know, like Office Space. What would you say you do here?
I have no idea. This is so confusing.
But yeah, it's not ideal.
You know what? It's funny because in the trade wire, this trade comes through twice, maybe as if it was reversed. You know, maybe somebody did it as a joke.
Oh, could be.
That's hilarious. Anyway, we skipped over a couple players. The eighth most entered player was Jerry Jeudy. We've already talked about him recently, so we're going to skip over him. T. Higgins came in at number 7, J.K. Dobbins at number 6, and then we are on the fifth most entered player in A.J. Brown, like I mentioned. Pulling up some trades, and I think people are curious about his value because he's missed a couple games due to injury. Does that change his value much? Like, does that impact you much, or are you kind of like pretty steady with what he's at?
So I might be a little different because A.J. Brown is my wide receiver 1 in Dynasty. So I'm not going to be as fickle with him because I look at this and say, okay, he's 24 years old and we got, you know, a nice long runway with him. So if he can get over he has had some durability issues and it's kind of frustrating, but I think he's an absolute animal. So if you're talking about young wide receivers, I think younger than 26, I think he's the best in my personal opinion. So I would be looking to acquire AJ Brown, especially if you can find somebody that's frustrated with AJ Brown, which might be a lot of Dynasty owners right now.
Yeah, he's kind of building a little bit of a trend of being hurt and injured, you know? Like it's kind of becoming a little bit of a theme, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I hate, you know, buying into players like that, but when I see a guy that I think is the best at his craft, at what he does, at his position, I'm kind of buying into that long term. His the start to his career is very reminiscent to, like, in terms of the injuries and just kind of like high touchdowns, low receiving yards, Devonta Adams. If you remember Devonta Adams early in his career, he wasn't a high reception guy. He wasn't a high yards guy. He was just a high touchdown guy. And he just slowly developed into that, what he is today.
Mm-hmm.
So I still really like AJ Brown. And I know his values come down, but that's the perfect time to go out and acquire AJ Brown. And do you agree or disagree? I don't even know where you stand on AJ Brown. We've never actually discussed him.
I'm kind of sick of his injury history. You know, I'm sick of it. Like, he is a guy that you probably drafted to be your wide receiver one, you know, like, just like you're saying, overall dynasty wide receiver one, if you're in a recent startup, you probably drafted him that way. And now he's just not coming through for you. So it's really frustrating. I see why. So, like, my instinct is I'm frustrated. But usually when my instinct is that, usually means it's a good buy window for somebody. So if you find somebody that's equally frustrated, you could probably do that. And I think I'm trying to find this report here. I don't know why I'm erroring out at MFL player stats, but he did something really similar last year. So maybe this could be like a little bit of a sign. Oh, I needed to change the year. So let's go weeks 5 through 17 last year for wide receivers. AJ Brown finished as the wide receiver 4 for points, and let's see, and wide receiver 7 for average after week 4, which was when he was banged up, basically, just like this year.
Yeah, he was hurt the week 2 and 3. And week 1, he didn't do anything. He had 5 receptions for 39 yards, was hurt, missed week 2, week 3, and then went on a streak of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 touchdowns in 5 weeks.
Yeah, so maybe we could expect something similar. So if you're frustrated about AJ Brown and you're wondering about his value, you're looking for trades, probably don't do it. Definitely don't do it. I would hang on to him. If you really want to get out, there is a good chance that he could have like another big string of games like he did last year. I understand that Julio Jones has now entered the offense, but Julio's banged up too. So it's too bad AJ didn't play this week, because it could have been a really big one for him, because they'd have nobody.
Yeah, and I feel like the Titans, like last year, they were a pretty solid team. They ran the ball a lot, and they're doing that this year almost out of necessity because of the injuries. But their defense is not good. They may not be able to kind of keep giving the ball to Derrick Henry 25 times plus a game, and they're going to have to play catch up. And when they do, I feel like this AJ Brown not getting, you know, double, like, it's funny. Because Deontay Johnson, we talk about him because of me several times, he's gotten double-digit targets in every single game dating back to last year when he's played the full game.
Of course, you're going to spin it to talk about Deontay Johnson.
AJ Brown, on the other hand, who is my wide receiver one, has only had one game over the last 2 years where he's had double-digit targets.
Yucky.
But I really feel like I'm kind of putting a lot of faith in, once again, this is kind of my long-term faith in projecting my portfolio. I really think AJ Brown, when we look back, will be like, you know, he should have been. Yeah, he should have been the wide receiver one. But yeah. I've been wrong plenty of times before. No denying that with players. But I really feel confident AJ Brown is a talent.
Interesting, yeah. Justin Jefferson seems to be the obvious choice, but I understand there's AJ Brown and DK Metcalf lovers alike. So, yeah, I get
it. Yeah, I like JJ's up there. He's 2, maybe 3. I mean, yeah, I'd say he's 2.
I mean, all we're changing is the AJ to JJ, so it's just a few letters.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, what's a trade involving AJ Brown right now? What's the latest trade for him?
Coincidentally, I have one pulled up.
Let's hear it.
The only really compelling ones I could find, this one would be hard for you, I think, being an AJ Brown lover. Saquon Barkley or AJ Brown. This was done in the Kingdom League kind of back towards the summer, but I thought it was compelling enough to bring up.
Hmm. Yeah, that's tough. I'd go AJ Brown, but
and then Trey Lance or AJ Brown was another one I found.
Oh man, another good one. I'd go to AJ Brown. But okay. Once again, I understand both ways. Totally get it.
Okay.
And I, if somebody said I'd rather have Trey Lance than A.J. Brown, I completely understand it. My philosophy is very simple. Like, I think there's too much risk in Trey Lance, and there's, with running backs, you get a shorter shelf life. So I'm talking about in a vacuum, I'm taking the receiver in that situation without team context.
Yeah, I get it. I'm going to try to find one that's going to be tough for you. Tyreek Hill or A.J. Brown? Well, he's your wide receiver one. You said.
Yeah, this is going to be more team dependent because I feel like you can ride out Tyreek Hill and then dump him for A.J. Brown if you want later on down the road.
Yep.
So I don't think you need to do that now, but I like A.J. Brown long term.
Okay, so this doesn't seem to be too easy. 12-team Superflex. This is done in the Spaceballs Dynasty League. A.J. Brown and Carson Wentz or Jalen Hurts and Devonta Smith?
I really like Devonta Smith.
I know. That's why I thought this might
really
be
like
more
Devonta
difficult.
Smith.
59. It's about 60 to 55 in favor of the Hurts and Devonta Smith.
Yeah,
side.
I think
that's why
I think
thought it might be tough.
Yeah, it's tough for me because I really like A.J. Brown, but I would go Hurts and Smith.
Yeah, upgrade at quarterback and
it's just, you know,
good
Wentz,
enough at wide
this
receiver.
Wentz thing is getting old, dude.
Yeah. It's about done.
Yeah.
He's a scary one. Too bad he's not one of the most entered ones. He'd be fun to talk about because it's just it's time to bail out. I mean, it was probably a while ago, but moving on to the next one, just keeping things nice and compact. The fourth most entered player is one we'll talk about. Cordarrelle Patterson. I get it too. I do not understand how you should value this guy anymore. 30 years old, being featured in an offense that just wants to keep feeding him the ball. Are you making big plays? Like it seems like they don't really have much else to go to. It's kind of funny. They're using him out of the backfield a lot. Even like fantasy website platforms and software don't know how to like determine if he's a running back or wide receiver. In the calculator, we have him as a running back. So maybe that should be the point of truth.
Well, he's a running back. We go off of the roster, the depth chart, and he's listed as a running back.
That's right. So what kind of advice can you give to Cordarrelle Patterson owners? Obviously, if they're win now, you got to keep them. If you're retooling or rebuilding, you got to trade them. But like, what do you do here, you know?
You trade them under just about every circumstance, I feel. It's again, obviously significantly harder to trade him if you're a contender. If you're a rebuilder, you take your second round pick and you just move on and just be happy with it. Because I don't think he'll ever get to first round value just because it's, once again, we talk about insulation and the room to gain versus room to lose. And he's been in the league now since 2013. Like it doesn't, he could go off for 3 or 4 more games and you will still have significant difficulty in trading him for a first round pick.
Yeah.
Just because like, okay, it's old news. Like you expect the worst. Like you can't trade a first round pick for Patterson because you just expect the worst to happen because it's Patterson.
It's a tricky one.
So I would take my second round pick and I would just move on and be happy.
And there are literally zero trades in the trade wire where he is. It's kind of like the.
It's never a one for a pick straight up.
Yeah, it's never a one for a one type of thing. He's always a throw in a trade, which might be my recommendation. If you're wondering what to do with Cordarrelle Patterson and you're kind of retooling, rebuilding, or even if you've got enough depth and you're contending and you want to cash out, which is not a bad idea, because literally he will not be valued any higher than he is right now.
Yeah.
I could see maybe trying to find like a bigger trade and have him be as a throw-in to a contending team that needs to have that extra piece, some more flexibility in his roster, his lineup. Yeah.
You know what he's a perfect candidate for?
What's that?
A second and Patterson for a first.
There you go. Yep, something like that.
Or a Patterson and a first for an upgraded first.
Okay, yep, the old flip.
I mean, I think he's
the perfect
candidate for
both. Yeah, but here's the problem with that.
I get what you're saying, but there's a lot of, I know what you're going to say, if you have a poor pick, you're not going to be trading for Patterson, but I'm in leagues where the teams that are actually contending have picks weaker, that belong to the weaker player, to weaker owners.
Because at the end of the day, that specific situation, that's a great idea.
If you really look at your, you people will be like, there's a reason why, and not this is not a blanket statement, but in many leagues, there's a reason why an owner or two are always at the bottom.
Yep.
Because they just make boneheaded decisions. So I can't tell you how many leagues I'm in where the team that's currently in, you know, last or second to last or third to last that are struggling don't even have a first for next year. Sad. So it's somewhere. You just got to go get it. So use Patterson and your first if it's a high first, like if it's a good first, not good or bad first, however you want to say it. If you're a contending team, you're doing well, trade Patterson in that play.
I like that pick. That's a good strategy.
Yeah.
I'm in. So that's good for Cordarrelle Patterson. Man, I struggle with his name all the time. The third most entered player in the calculator was Allen Robinson. We've talked about him recently, so we'll skip over him. We've got two left. We'll be talking about them both. Number two is Javonte Williams. And by the way, this was just by a hair. Between Javonte Williams and the first most entered player, it was a matter of a couple of entries. So Javonte Williams just barely misses being the most entered player. So people are wondering what to do with Javonte Williams. I'm kind of scrolling around looking for some trades. There's a couple of really good ones. Do you want to just do some trades with him, or do you want to break him down first?
Yeah, let's do some trades.
This one I thought was really good. It was recent, within the last couple of days. Christian McCaffrey, this would have been already knowing that McCaffrey was out this most recent week. Christian McCaffrey or Javonte Williams and Jaylen Waddle. In the calculator, it's literally within 0.2 points of one another. So from a value standpoint, very fair, but obviously Christian McCaffrey being the bigger piece in the trade probably has some pull.
Right. Yeah, it's a good trade. Christian McCaffrey's so damn good.
Mm-hmm.
But
he's like AJ Brown to me, though. You know, it's like, oh, I get.
Ugh. Yeah, I mean, he's been pretty durable throughout his even college and NFL, early in his NFL career. It's just been the last couple of seasons, right?
So much recency, yeah.
But it may be the fact that his usage is so damn high. Will that change? And I don't know if it's going to change. Unless this is one of those things where be careful what you wish for. People are like, oh, you know, I wish, you know, you were getting outside of Derrick Henry, you should probably stop wishing for guys to get 25 plus touches. I think where you want it, the perfect example of what you want from your running backs is what Kamara has done. Because it's sustainable for health and it's sustainable for production and it helps with longevity. Because you're getting your fantasy points and you're getting your 18 touches in the smartest way possible. You're getting limited carries, a lot of receptions. With McCaffrey, he's Kamara on steroids. So he's Kamara mixed with like Zeke.
Little Kamaroids?
Yeah. So you're getting the from Zeke from 2 years ago, where you're getting 20 carries a game and then you're getting the Kamara receptions. It's just not your body can only take so much unless you're Derrick Henry, who apparently is made out of just steel. So I probably the answer should be McCaffrey, but I think a lot of people are going to be on the Waddle Javonta side just because it's you get more roster flexibility this way. You know, with McCaffrey, you're limiting your interested parties to just contenders because the moderate, you know, the middle pack teams and the rebuilders are not going to be interested. So you're kind of limiting yourself to who you're available to. And you're also, let's say he comes back. His value is still pretty high. Let's say he comes back and gets hurt again and misses the rest of the season or misses like 3 or 4 or 5 more weeks. His value insulation is going to be gone.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's a breaking point, just like we had talked about earlier with Clyde and Miles Sanders and all of them. There's going to be a breaking point with him, even though he's been really good. So I feel like the Waddle Williams side, in some weird way, is safer than McCaffrey. But McCaffrey has like the upside. Waddle and Williams will not win, will not be the reason you won a championship, but McCaffrey could be, right? McCaffrey could be. Even who knows what Javonta's upside is, but it's hard to find players with the upside of Christian McCaffrey. Like, they just, you just don't find them anywhere.
Yeah, that's valid. So many really good trades, by the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
The next one is Javonta Williams or George Kittle.
Tight end premium?
Absolutely, yep. 22.5 for George Kittle, so it's definitely tight end premium.
It's not.
Oh, okay, so it's regular.
Yep. That's a good trade.
So diamond, like pick a side, flip a coin, right? Depending on positional needs.
Yeah, I mean, it's in a vacuum. Positional scarcity, it's hard to pass on a guy like Kittle. I'd probably lean Kittle very slightly in a non-premium league.
There you go. And one more. This one was compelling too. Javonta Williams and J.K. Dobbins or Alvin Kamara?
Oh, Dobbins, Williams, easy.
Easily, huh? For me. Wow.
Yeah. So Kamara has not had a good season to start, and he's hitting that age where the value for running back starts to depreciate, even though the way that he plays, there should be some longevity to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be a really good player to acquire when he hits that 28 mark, because I still think that he'll have a couple more years of Kamara production at a significantly cheaper price. So I'm taking the Dobbins Javonta side. I would not be surprised at August of 2022 where Williams is valued higher than Kamara because of the departure of Melvin Gordon.
Wow. That'd be a cool, bold prediction. Maybe you should do like a mid-season edition.
Yeah. So it wouldn't be out of the, I would not be shocked. So I think moving off of Kamara for two young backs that could become RB1s is probably a good dump for portfolio to try to like rebuild that capital.
There you go. Moving on to the final and most entered player in the Dynasty Trade Calculator in the last 24 hours. You guessed it. Izzy already alluded to it. Miles Sanders. Yeah. And I get it. People are very confused with Miles Sanders. And I'm looking at the Dynasty Trade Calculator player card. He is currently valued at his least value in his career. Before his least was November 2019 as 18 points of value. Now, October 2021, 17.1. He is currently at the bottom of his value history. What are you doing with Miles Sanders now?
Man, dude. So as a prospect, if you recall, Miles Sanders was my favorite prospect in that class. I just love watching him play. He's been super efficient during his career. He's just not utilized. And my big concern was Doug Peterson and what he's going to do with Miles Sanders and not utilize him, because that's just kind of what he does with running backs. And I thought, okay, well, coaching change, Sirianni might come in and we might see Miles Sanders as a bell cow. And that was kind of like the hope for a lot of people. And it's the same thing. So I wish he was being utilized in the pass game. I could live with the 10 carries a game, but you need to get me 5 receptions.
Yeah.
And he's not doing that. He's getting 3 receptions and it's not enough. He's like, not even, you got to get me double digit fantasy points a week as your floor. Yeah. Like, I want your floor to be double digit fantasy points as a running back with low carries, but decent reception game. So with Miles, I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel for him. It's been 3 straight years of similar production. And where does it end? I mean, it's funny. If you look at his rookie season versus Clyde's rookie season, almost identical in terms of production.
Yeah, but second years are much different.
And second years are much different, but I don't know where Clyde's going to end up falling in his second year. Like, we don't know yet. It's still too early to determine. But from a volume perspective, they're on the same pace. So Clyde is on the same pace as year 2 volume for Miles Sanders on the ground.
Oh, you know what's funny?
And go ahead.
Miles Sanders' second year, it looks like he missed week one. I can't remember why. But week two, 20 carries, 95 yards, a touchdown, three receptions, 36 yards. So a good amount of fantasy points. Week three, 18 carries, 95 yards, four receptions, 12 yards. And then kind of a duck on week four, 13 for 46. And then 11 for 80 and two on week five.
That's funny. I think Clyde had a 13 for 46 game this season.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. So it's like I'm actually thinking like their second years are looking very similar. And then Miles Sanders went down with an injury week seven, week eight, then bye in week nine. And he came back and had a pretty decent finish to the season, just not exactly what you'd hoped for as you drafted him high, you know?
Yeah, and that's I think they're very similar players and they're utilized very similarly. So that's why I'm moving away from Clyde, is because I see visions of Miles Sanders and I'm terrified of it. Like, I don't want any part of what I've seen out of Miles Sanders for the last couple of years. It's like, it's a tease every single week. You're like, okay, this is the week, and it just never happens.
Yeah, that's a good point. Interesting. Very similar. Wow. Taking a quick look at some of the trades involving Miles Sanders, and then we can close this thing off. I'm trying to find one of the more compelling ones here. This trade just has like 12 assets on both sides. It's like you're swapping teams. Those are hilarious. Rashad Bateman or Miles Sanders?
Oh, not Bateman. Bateman.
Going with Bateman?
Yeah. I mean, I'll take the risk. I'll take the chance. I know where Miles is. He's an RB2, but with Bateman, there is significantly more upside than what I'd be getting with Miles. So I'll take the chance.
Yeah, makes sense.
And that's what you want. I think this is an important topic to touch on. So when you have your players that you know they're RB2s or wide receiver threes, or, you know, they're on like the fringe of your like core guys, you should always go for the upside.
Yeah.
Always. Like, it's just, it won't kill you if you lose Miles Sanders or a wide receiver three, but it will kill you if you pass up on a guy like Bateman and he goes absolutely bonkers and he becomes, you know, like Justin Jefferson would have been a great example last season where you may have said, no, I'd rather have Miles Sanders and Justin Jefferson. And you passed up on the opportunity to get a player like that. It can go the other way too. Like, you could backfire, right, and you can do it with Rager, and then you end up with Rager instead of Miles Sanders. But really, when you look at it, if you gave up Miles Sanders for Rager, are you really kicking yourself? Are you looking at it and be like, oh my God, I'm such an idiot? No. But you are kicking yourself if you said no to a Justin Jefferson deal. So right, when you talk about just like how it can impact your team, Miles Sanders really doesn't do enough for you to pass on upside.
Yeah. And maybe not for one of those players that you're talking about, like Rashad Bateman, but I do, like, as a devil's advocate, I don't mind maybe acquiring him, because Miles Sanders kind of feels like, if you're into like stocks or, you know, cryptocurrency trading, stuff like that, having his value be this low and knowing that somebody might be frustrated enough to sell him for really cheap, I don't mind dangling it out like something low, you know. I don't know if I feel comfortable paying like a late first, but, you know, maybe some combination of a second and a reasonable player.
Let's talk about
that. Try to get Miles cheap just in case he has a couple of big weeks, and then you can, you know, flip him back around and capitalize. But I don't mind the idea of getting him this cheap, because he is historically low right now for his value. So
let's talk about that. Let's say you have a second round pick and a player. What pocket player would you give up for Miles Sanders?
It would have to be...
Are we talking like, are you thinking like you could maybe able to do it for like Melvin Gordon? Do you think that would get it done? Is that what you're kind of hoping for?
I don't
for?
Think it would. Okay. That's the kind of thing I'd be trying. But maybe like Tyler Lockett, like somebody aging but good, you know, that where somebody's like, I need to produce points. Miles is not doing it. I'm frustrated. Give me Lockett plus a second and it'll get it done. I would consider doing that.
What about like an OBJ?
OBJ would be good. I don't think that's enough, but that OBJ is another good example of something I would try to pull.
OBJ in a second, you don't think is enough?
I don't think so. Yeah, or like if Michael Thomas comes back, and it's my bold prediction that he won't, but if Michael Thomas happens to be like returning, I like the idea of maybe, you know, Michael Thomas in a second at some point.
You might be able to do Michael Thomas straight up if he comes back.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point, because Michael Thomas will kind of spike up at that point. Robert Woods is another one, although he hasn't been producing at all. But yeah, the OBJs, the Tyler Lockett's, like the guys that are kind of aging but producing. I don't know if OBJ is technically producing, but kind of in that pocket. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
James Robinson would be a good one. A guy who's kind of like a little bit of a ticking time bomb, depending on how confident you feel in him. But like those are the kind of trades I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Floating on over.
Yeah. Oh. I get it.
Yeah, so that's Miles Sanders, and I think that's a good spot to conclude the podcast. Like I said, Izzy's going to be joining another one. So if you're really into Izzy, you can listen to him twice. Double the Izzy, double the pleasure. I think that's what they say. I think that's a commercial.
Yep.
Double mint gum.
I was going to say.
There
double
you go.
Mint gum.
Thank you guys for listening to this week. Make sure you check out the website. We have all the tools that we mentioned in the podcast and more.
Do we give a shout out to Dynasty Rich? We hung out with Dynasty Rich this weekend.
We did.
You went to the Browns Vikings game with Rich?
Yep. Dynasty Rich from Dynasty Nerds came up this weekend to watch. He's a massive Browns fan. So he came up to watch the Browns play the Vikings. What a lame game. That's probably why I didn't bring it up, is because it was just a snooze fest after the first drive. Vikings scored in the first drive and then not the rest of the game. It was so boring.
Yeah. We got together at your place Sunday night. Saturday, we were over here. It was a good time.
Yeah. Lots of good fun, good clean fun with buddies. So,
yeah. We took Rich to the origination of DTC.
That's right.
We took him through that.
Brought him through the whole gauntlet of how the website and the podcast and everything was created. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so it's a good time. Coming up, so, shout out to our friends at Dynasty Nerds. Great products, great people.
There you go. And like I said, check us out, DynastyTradeCalculator.com. If you haven't already, thank you for listening. We'll be back again next week to cover some more stuff. Bye.
Calculate, got me up late. Gotta make another trade for Sunday. Hey, can't wait, not enough bait. Frost on my opponents, gonna call and cupcakes in. It's no hate, just facts. There's just no way I'm last. Technically, I'm last. 101 pick, I'm bad. Bad at the bone, ain't mad at the dome. Ain't rather than know the anatomy. Know a valuable rose is dandy to know.